Clive, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. Prior to the election, as I mentioned, Labor had committed to ensuring that the Minister for Agriculture provided quarterly reports to Parliament on things like the quantity of livestock exported, allegations of breaches of standards, and action taken for those breaches. This six-point plan that they sort of were looking to introduce, could we expect anything similar from the newly reinstalled coalition?
I don't think we will have as much action. There were some pointers in the Labour plan which suggested they were going to take action on live export in particular. They were going to immediately ban live export during the Australian winter and going to phase out live export at all times, live export of sheep, that is, phase that out over a period of about 4 to 5 years. There's no indication from the current government that that overall phase out will occur, although the export during the winter months has been greatly restricted.
How vital is live export seen by our farmers and agriculture?
It doesn't actually account for a very large proportion of the overall meat trade, only about 10%. There are sectors of the farming population that are dependent on live export, particularly in the north of Australia, where the cattle are sent by live export through to Asia. And without there being a significant number of meat works, abattoirs up in the north of Australia, it's hard to see how they could manage the slaughter of their animals any other way. They could be put on trucks and sent long distances down to abattoirs, meatworks in the southern part of Australia, but that would also have some welfare issues.
No indication of perhaps more jobs in the meatpacking industry going towards the northern part of the country?
Absolutely. I mean, we are exporting our jobs by sending animals alive, but the prices paid for live animals in Middle East and Asia are very high, and so, you know, it's easy to see how exporters are encouraged to send their animals alive.
I mean, it would seem fairly obviously that there is perhaps a need for a carrot and stick approach in this one, you know, not just outright bans, but economic incentives. Is there any proposals around adequate incentives for farmers, for the agricultural industry in raising animal welfare standards?
I haven't heard of any specific incentives. I mean, the government does give some assistance to farmers in severe need if they're the subject of drought or flood, for example. But in terms of providing assistance, for example, for farmers to use other methods of slaughtering their animals rather than sending them alive overseas, encouraging them to use local meatworks, that has not been the focus, I think, of either party. But the Labour Party, as I said, they just said they would phase live export out. It's not entirely clear how they would provide assistance to farmers who are facing difficulties because of that. And there's no doubt some of them would. When we had a temporary ban on live export of cattle from the north of Australia, there were some very significant welfare implications for all the cattle that were unable to leave that part of the country.
I think it is undeniable for farmers in this country right now. They've done it tough, such as it were. There is economic imperatives that are going to affect real people and real places like regional Australia. Are the cruel grinding gears of our economic imperatives and raising animal welfare standards simply impossible to balance? They are just too far apart in terms of in terms of what needs to be done.
I'm not sure that's entirely true. I mean, we do know that the Australian population as a whole is not in favour of exporting animals alive, but unfortunately they're not the consumers, and the consumers we would normally look to them to be responsible in terms of the products they're purchasing. But these consumers are often in developing countries, and they often would prefer to have live animals. They're used to buying their meat in wet markets, and they don't necessarily have refrigeration facilities. So there are a lot of reasons why the live export is continuing, rather than just the economic imperative, I think.
In terms of what Australian consumers do and what they can do, I mean, we see Australians saying they are concerned about animal welfare. We've seen increased popularity for the Animal Justice Party, but consumers, I mean, I think this election we've just been through showed, a lot of Australians are probably most concerned first with what's in their wallet, what they're paying. Is there a real reflection between concerns around animal welfare and the actions of Australian consumers?
Yeah. For a long time we've known that there is a mismatch between what people say they'll do, even on entering the supermarket, and what they actually put in the supermarket trolley. But having said that, you know, one only has to look at the changing availability of high welfare products in the supermarkets, and they've really got their finger on the button when it comes to, you know, what the consumer wants. They know far more about it than, you know, a lot of academics do, because they're monitoring it all the time with shelf sales. And we look at the rise in free-range egg production, for example. You know, 50% of Australia's production now, and that's come from nowhere over the last 10 to 15 years. So there's a lot of evidence that people are willing to spend. Whether that always translates into improved welfare is not absolutely clear. You know, there's a very good demand for free-range meat chicken, for example, now. It's quite difficult to raise birds at very young ages under free-range systems. So there's still a lot of need for researching the systems and developing those that really are high welfare.
Well, Clive, appreciate you having a bit of a chat with us about this one. Interesting one going forward.
Yeah, my pleasure. Enjoyed talking to you.